Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
So, I guess Victor Wembanyama had an idea that he took to the San Antonio Spurs. And it's something, I guess it's similar to a wall, or not a wall, the wall at the Intuit Dome, which is going to be scrutinized pretty heavily in the coming. Hey, any of you guys here donate to Aspiration? Has anyone here planted a tree? All right. But it's like a Spurs supporter section. And he wants to model it after European soccer. And the way that the Spurs describe this, because they're holding tryouts for the Spurs section. And it was described as, and I quote, nonstop chants, drums, flags, and passion.
All that's missing is the flares.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Are we all in on this Spurs section, supporter section?
If they do it right, 1,000%.
Huh?
If they do it right, 1,000%. It makes a new atmosphere.
Can you mimic European soccer? Like, those people are
probably not
scary.
Well, there's a culture, I think, a fan culture where it's, I don't want to say the game's a little bit more pure over there, but they got, I don't know, the fans are a little bit more in control of things over there and stuff like that. It's just, I don't know, it's just different. So I don't know if we have that culture to pull it off here.
I think you can. I mean, I like the thought of it, the idea of it. Yeah, go ahead and try it. I don't know necessarily how you hold tryouts, but okay. Like, do you get them in a setting and play a game like on the big screen and see how they react to everything, or if they for 48 minutes continue.
Good question.
To yell and go, oh.
Do you run a mock game with like practice players in Spurs uniforms?
They could pull it off because it's no different. These MLS teams have little supporter sections and stuff like that too. So,
do we think the wall worked?
The
wall got attention. Like,
well, it worked until we found.
They didn't think about it and they put it on the wrong side. Well, they only had one side. Which means you could always go away from it in the second half.
Yeah, you can't have two walls.
No.
I guess.
You can could.
I guess, I guess they only thought to build the one.
Maybe, but it was dope when it did work, when it was in action.
Maybe if you just pick like a lower level section or whatever, where it's just this one section that's just going nuts all game or whatever. It's just drums and all that stuff, where it's just you notice them. I think that's how it works. Maybe you don't do it the wall style.
The Bucks did that maybe 5-6 years ago, maybe more than that now at this point.
Did the section?
Yeah. It was really cool. It was dope.
I do not remember. The Bucks, the Milwaukee Bucks?
Yeah. It was when they were at the other place, the Bradley Center. Because I think was it Andrew Bogut who introduced it? Maybe it was way longer than 5-6 years ago if they did, but they did, and it was dope. It was dope. It was really cool. It was probably like half of one section, you know, like the 120 or something like that. It was like half of that. And they would stand the whole game. They would chant, all this other stuff. It was cool.
Do we think the Kings could do this?
Ask me again in 2027.
Jesus Christ.
I think they could. Like, what do you mean? Like, can they logistically in the arena or just the fan base?
No. The fan base can. Mm-hmm. I'm asking, can you do that? Can you implement this supporter section at the Golden One Center?
Yeah. The way I look at it, yeah, because you can take whatever part of the arena you want to. And it doesn't have to be a wall like the Clippers.
No, but more what my concern is there's a large contingent of fans of other teams that are constantly at the Golden One Center.
Oh, Well, yeah, you could do it. You do it the same way the Clippers do it. Those tickets.
You can't sit in this section unless you're.
Yeah, those tickets are specifically sold to.
Are you committed to 41 games?
You're committed to 41 games, or you have people on the wait list that on call, you know, you didn't, sorry, you know, our spots are filled, but you're on call to get to these games if somebody hasn't claimed their tickets that day.
Also, don't know if this would be the season to do that.
So
I just don't know how much excitement there is right now. Where, like, you'd be able to sustain it for the 41 games.
So it's fair to ask that. There has to be excitement.
Yeah.
There's got to be
because
obviously there's excitement around San Antonio, who, by the way, I think it was Winhurst, who's like, yeah, you can stop questioning who Vic's running mate is going to be. It's De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah, well, what's the name got hurt, didn't he? Not that it matters.
Dylan Harper did. Yeah.
He'll need surgery, so yeah, for sure. Fox is going to start there, and I agree with
Winhurst. Well, Fox had surgery, too, a while ago.
But I think, De'Aaron's going to be there. I mean, the money's there. The contract is there.
If he wasn't, we would have already known. Like when that report on his deal came out, it's like, oh, yeah, De'Aaron's their guy.
Yeah. Would you say that is – I'm not trying to attack any fan base or anything, because I know the Kings fan base is A1. But, Jesse, what you said shouldn't matter for something like that. It shouldn't matter.
I'm not.
So no. I understand Jesse's point, but I also understand yours. I think in the idea of this supporter section, and I have no idea how many people fill section 103, right? But if it's 400, 500, if it's 1,000, I think you can find 1,000 really excited Kings fans without a problem. Mm-hmm. I think you could do that easily. Yeah. I don't know what the rest of the arena will sound like at times, but yeah, I think you could find, like, hey, this is your job on a night to night basis, or you're here tonight, this is your job. Yeah, I think Kings fans could do it. But I also think Jesse's point is true too. I think the vibe in the arena is going to be a little it all goes back to one thing. You win games, vibes are going to be incredible.
Well, there's just so much.
I don't know that it's going to be sold out.
There's, like, just so much uncertainty with this team too. Like, the Spurs, you can get behind Wemby, De'Aaron Fox. Like, there's a team to get behind that's going to be here for a few years and all that. The Clippers, we thought, I mean, you get behind Kawhi Leonard, whoever else was there. It's just, I don't know. I feel like the atmosphere would be a little off. Just because I don't know what King's going to be here, how long. Like, it's just, there's no real team to, like, really, I guess, the roster. I'm not talking about the Sacramento Kings itself, but just the roster to get behind, I guess.
You're 100% correct. But for something like that, that's diving too far into the minutiae. I need people that, if the Kings are playing, if the Kings are playing, I don't care if it's Jack Cooley out there again. You're going crazy for them.
They're there at the arena. Mm-hmm. They're just, and there's well over thousands, they're just spread across the arena. Mm-hmm. You want to get, for a situation like what they want to do in San Antonio, or potentially do in San Antonio, you want to get them all in one place.
I was trying to see. This is a really grainy YouTube video. Sorry. But
then it definitely wasn't a few years ago.
I'll find out the year. But this was the Bucks section.
Okay.
This is what they
did. Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. Is that a still shot?
Yeah, it's a still shot.
Oh, okay.
Just because I wanted you to see, like, what it looked like. But that's
cool.
That's not.
Did it have a name?
Squad 6 fan section.
That picture could be anywhere from 2003 to 2011 right there.
Let's see. Hold on. What is this? This is, damn, squad 15 years ago.
2010, I was right.
15 years ago, Squad 6. And they had less than half of that section, right? Like, that was that was probably like 10 rows.
Right.
So, yeah, I think they could do something like that in Kings games.
I feel like it would look weird. There's like half a section up with, like, flags and chants and noise and whatever. And then everyone else is just watching the game.
Always. And that team, that group is always making noise and stuff. So, yeah.
What's the best place to put him?
Probably put him behind the basket of where the opening is. On that side.
Huh. Okay.
They'd probably go, yeah, behind the basket or in the corner. Maybe in the corner behind the on the side where the visitor's bench is.
Well, you'd want to throw them, too, in a spot where the camera's always going to catch them for the most part, right?
Oh, yeah, true. Probably want
to
do that.
Well, the killer is you'd have to move them down.
I was going
to
say.
They ain't going
to
do that.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't even know that that section exists, and you definitely aren't giving up money to move them down. Mm-hmm. Sac State will make their home debut coming up this Saturday. We'll talk to Coach Brendan Marion next here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Jesse's funny, man.
Well, I cut like, myself off.
I don't know. I we got to do a show, dummies. Argue all you want to.
I'm going to tell you, they'll be here.
Yeah, Coach Brendan Marion will be with us coming up here in just a couple of minutes. Some changes under center at Sac State that we'll talk to him about. And I'm sure he knows we're going to talk about, you know, the final few minutes of that game versus Nevada on Saturday. And I have an unpopular opinion, or what I think is an unpopular opinion, not just on that particular situation, but on situations like that. Mm. And we're all guilty of it. And I wonder if Coach Marion is guilty of it, too. Mm. And I'll ask him. Mm-hmm. So he'll join us here in just a couple of minutes. Speaking of, have you been keeping up on this Bill Belichick Patriots?
Vaguely.
UNC vaguely. Thing? Some report came out that Bill Belichick is banning all Patriot scouts from the UNC campus, and they can't scout his players or nothing like that. And Vrabel's just kind of, you know, they asked Mike Vrabel about it, and he was just like, well, like, okay. Like, you know, he didn't really have a retort to it. They asked Bill after he got his first win this past weekend. And I think it was something like, well, you know, it's fine. I'm not welcome on their campus, so they're not welcome on ours. Hmm. And then there was this story that, like, Bill has been upset because he's not welcome around the Patriots campus since he's been fired. And Florio pointed out he's been back since he's been fired. So if he's banned, he's banned himself from Patriots, the Patriots facilities.
Which was bizarre because Vrabel said, I think the other day or maybe before the game, something like that. He was like, I just saw him say, Bill Belichick is welcome here anytime. Mm-hmm. And I was like, why would he say that? And then I saw this story and everything else was going on with this. I don't know what Bill's talking
so
about.
So there was another thing, and I always forget his girlfriend's name, but they filed for trademarks and they were denied all four of them. I was like, wow, I don't know that I've ever seen like trademarks denied before. Like, what did he try to trademark? So Bill tried to trademark, do your job, which the Patriots own that trademark because they trademarked it when he was the Patriots coach, except there's a slight twist to it. He tried to trademark do your job, Bill's version. And I can't remember what the other three things were, but they were along those lines.
On
and
the
they
Cincinnati.
All ended with Bill's version.
Bill's version. On the Cincinnati Bill's version.
Which is a nod to Taylor Swift re-releasing her albums and having 1980, Taylor's version. Mm-hmm. Red. Taylor's version. And the trademark and copyright people were like, yeah, this is a little too confusing. You can't have these trademarks. Sorry.
Poor
and
Bill.
It's like, Bill,
dial it in, pal.
What poor are you Bill. Doing, man?
I dial it in. Like, come on. Enough's enough.
The Bellustrator. That was another one. Thank you, David Jackson. The Bellustrator. Bill's version.
Poor Bill.
Hey, let's all relax.
Poor Bill, nothing.
He's just trying to figure it all out.
Poor Bill, nothing.
Next coach of the Miami Dolphins.
Oh, my God.
He's going to go 3-8 with UNC this season. Mike McDaniel's going to get fired, and Bill's going to go to the Dolphins to beat the Patriots.
Now, that would be must-see TV. I don't think he'd be successful.
We're going to get the worst version of Bill Belichick.
It'd be like...
you can argue we're getting that now.
It'll be like Jimmy Johnson. Did Jimmy Johnson get you guys to the playoffs one of the years, though?
Yeah, I think couple seasons, I think. Okay. He wanted to trade Marino after that 60-whatever loss, and Marino just retired. Jimmy Johnson tried to trade for Barry Sanders, too. But I think Barry Sanders just stayed retired or something like that.
Shout out to Bill, though. They got their first win of the season this past week, a 20-3 victory over Charlotte. They take on the Richmond Spiders this Saturday on the ACC Network.
Okay.
Yeah.
Lock in.
Shout out to the Longhorn Network. You crawled so the ACC Network could run, I guess.
Well, the ACC Network is a lot better than the CW Network. That's a partner of the ACC. I think that's also
the
a partner
ACC
of the...
ACC Network is ass.
Of the Pac-12. I think they're partnering with the CW. When they come back next year or something.
Catch Florida State versus Clemson followed by Gotham on the CW.
Oh, man. CW used to be what?
UPN, I think. Right?
You
know what UPN stands for, Jesse?
No, Damien, I don't. What does it stand for, Damien?
I don't remember who told us what it stood for. It wasn't... I ain't going to tell you. Y'all have to look it up. The first two words are underpaid, though. And if you remember... If you remember that, I think the Wayans brothers was on there.
See, I think
was
that's
Jamie
when
Jamie Foxx on there?
That's when it was WB. I'm not...
Well, no, it wasn't WB because UPN.
It started off as WB, though.
So WB became UPN, which became CW.
And when they were UPN, I think they were gone, and it was like Homeboys in Outer Space.
Oh, my God.
I think it was Malcolm and Eddie. I think that was on UPN.
Malcolm and Eddie.
Homeboys in
Outer
Space.
How many episodes of Malcolm? Speaking of, I don't know why, but Ken Rudolph is going to be with us tomorrow.
Shout out, Ken.
I don't know why Homeboys in Outer Space made me think of Ken Rudolph, but.
Oh, there's today's title. Hold on, let me write that down.
I bet if we searched hard enough, we could find out Ken Rudolph actually did a cameo as a news anchor in Homeboys in Outer Space. We have to ask Ken this question tomorrow. Has he ever played anyone other than a news anchor?
Noted. Noted. We'll ask that question.
I think he was in Evan Almighty. I can't remember. He was definitely in that Mars show on Apple, and he was a news anchor.
Okay.
Like, I feel like every time I see... Ken on TV, he's a news anchor. Very typecast.
I think you being also had In the House. I think that was UPN at the time.
That was a good show.
Because the WB was
What about Up All Night? What you know about Up All Night?
Up All Night with Dwayne Martin. Patti LaBelle. Yeah. And Morris Chestnut was
on it. I remember Bobby Brown was on it one time.
That was NBC.
Was that NBC?
Yeah, that was NBC. I like that show. Don't remember much of it, but I like that show.
I remember
I liked it.
I just remember the one Bobby Brown was on. That's
what you know about. Oh, I can't say because I don't remember the name, but the lawyer show when Robin Givens made her return.
Oh, what is it? Damn.
And they had the dude who played in Juana Man.
Yeah.
I saw that the other day. Well, like
Juana Man?
Like 20 minutes of it because it was on after one of the channels.
It was on BET Plus? Well, who's Aaron Juana Man?
Oh, man.
I remember.
I can't remember if the WB.
What was the name? Was it Courthouse? Was that the name of the show? That feels too long ago.
The WB, they first started with Parenthood, the Wayans Brothers, Unhappily Ever After, and there was a fourth show, and I can't remember it.
We're killing time before Coach Brendan Marion joins us, by the way. This is not... Like,
real quick, speaking of, did you see my text about the opening?
I did. Okay. Yeah, he's just going to have to miss those today.
Okay.
Yeah. She had a recurring role on In the House, too. Debbie Allen was in that show.
Yeah, the first year it was Debbie Allen and a little kid. Yeah.
I remember the first time I saw Robin Givens on Head of the Class. Like, I distinctively remember that moment. Oh, my God.
I don't remember.
The Lord is my shepherd. He know what I want.
I did not remember Robin until she was married with Mike, and then Boomerang.
Oh, Boomerang.
Yeah. Robin Givens, underrated. Underrated actress.
Actress?
Yeah. Well, you know.
I don't know that that's true.
I'm not saying like she should get an Emmy, but just the person that did a lot of stuff.
She did. I guess she did.
She did. What'd you say? Head of the class.
Oh, she, like, I mean,
Boomerang.
She did a ton. Like, if I go all the way back, let's see. She was the love interest in Blank Man. She was the love interest in Blank Man. Did you? Now I'm bugging. I did not know this. Did you know she was in The Wiz?
I did not know that. No.
She was one of the guests at Auntie M's party.
I did not know that.
I have to see this scene.
Wow.
She played Juanita in the Michael Jordan An American Hero made for TV movie. Didn't know that.
That's what I'm saying. Robin Givens underrated.
Buddy, none of these are good.
Well, she was acting.
I need to see Robin Givens in The Wiz, though. I have to see that.
She was acting. Head of the class. I remember.
Head of the class was great.
That used to come on. She was in Family That Prays. I remember that. That used to be syndicated. That used to come on every morning. And I would watch Head of the Class.
It's so funny. It's hilarious. Diana Ross playing Dorothy in The Wiz. Diana Ross looks like she's 50 in this movie. A little lost girl.
I've seen Diana Ross not too long ago. She looks fantastic.
She looks terrific.
She's like 80 plus.
She looks terrific. She was performing somewhere near here, and I thought long and hard about going to see her, and I didn't because I was like, how much could she really do? She's 70-something. Mm. It turns out a lot.
Yeah.
She's still very much a performer.
Yeah.
My bad.
Always a... A performer.
Didn't want her to marry Jay Blige this thing, so.
MJB. Shout out to him. Robin Givens from New York, New York.
Mm-hmm.
All right, man.
Her and Mike had that in common. Brandon Marion going to join us probably soon. Cardale Williams will start at quarterback for Sac State at the home opener this weekend.
Yeah, man. Cardale came in on Saturday's game after... Jaden.
Nasty hit.
Yeah, that hit.
Nasty hit.
Which, I mean, I don't even know if I'm going to ask Coach this because it's already moved on. And there's no, it doesn't even matter.
Don't ask him something that he's going to lose money on.
But Jaden Rashada takes a late hit on third down.
Mm-hmm.
The referees look at it. They deem it to be targeting. They eject the player from Nevada. It's still 4th and 3.
Mm-hmm.
I said, they're like, no. Did I miss? Somebody let me know. Did I miss something?
Mm-hmm.
Targeting is a personal foul.
Mm-hmm.
It's automatic first down. No, they just 4th and 3. And nobody said anything. Announcers didn't say nothing. I can't tell if the coaching staff, I couldn't because the camera wasn't on them. But. I was like, did I miss something? No, these refs, these referees got to do better. So far, they have not done a good job in all of football to start the season.
Jaden didn't have the start to his season that I think a lot of Sac State fans were hoping for the week prior. And it just, it was kind of sped up or perhaps compounded by the fact that he took that nasty hit in this one and Cardale came in and played pretty well. And put them in a position like so much happened in those final few minutes. But in the end, they were in a position to win that game.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought in that game he was going to go more to that 2-quarterback system that we thought we were going to get in week 1 against mm-hmm. South Dakota. And he was going to really dive into that. Jaden made a couple of really good throws on that first drive. And still, Cardale came in there and took a snap or two. So I thought he was really good. That was going to be a big part of the game plan on Saturday. And because, like you said, of that hit, We didn't really get a chance to see that. Gardell played the rest of the game, played really well, almost led him to a victory. And now he's a starter. He's a starter on Saturday, but when we talk to coach, is the two quarterback system still in play? It could still be in play, and Gardell's just starting off.
It looks like, according to this tweet, it could very well be. Jaden Rashada could still be a part of coach's game plan, and we'll find out when coach joins us coming up here in just a few minutes. An incredibly chaotic finish to that game on Saturday against Nevada. And, of course, they open up at home now. They've got a couple here at Sac State over the next couple of weeks, and I know their fan base will be excited to see Go-Go for the first time. I know we'll all be excited to see Go-Go for the first time, and I'm expecting a pretty live environment coming up this Saturday. Weather's still going to be great. It's going to be prime conditions for a Sac State football game on Saturday.
No, it's going to be a good time out, man. Mercyhurst coming to town. I don't ever want to project in this type of way, but it should be a game that Sac State takes care of and, you know, has some fun out there. It has some fun out at Hornet Field with the crowd being into it, the crowd being out there. I think you're going to get a good number when you talk about attendance. You mentioned it. The weather's still great. I think tailgate's going to be great before the game, all throughout that parking lot. So I think it's going to be a good time out at Sac State's home opener on Saturday. Chris Biederman had asked both of us, I think it was off air, it was during the break.
It was.
He asked us.
Yep.
The Cal Expo thing. Mm-hmm. Like, I know we kind of talked about that. Or I'm not sure if you were here at the time.
No, I was here.
You were here?
Either I was here or I got back right after that was going on.
I think it was that Monday and you came back on that Tuesday.
Yeah. But go ahead with.
I was just going to ask, like, do you think that would work here in Sacramento as far as like not being on campus?
I don't
move for him.
I don't love it not being on campus. I'd like to see like what is the plan? Like, is it a change for change sake? Like, what makes taking over Cal Expo better? What are your plans for that space? Mm-hmm. How on earth do you plan to get those plans implemented in the next year?
I didn't even pay attention to that.
Like, I mean, that
can't happen.
I'd love it. And that's the part that keeps throwing me off. And I'm not a contractor, a builder, a construction person. I'm none of that stuff. Mm. I'm certainly not the president of a university. If y'all say it can be done, great. Can you show me what it looks like? Like, what are those things called?
The
renderings.
Oh, yeah,
What are the renderings for this look like? As long as it's not a change for change sake, yeah, I'm good with it. But being off campus, I feel like is a big negative. Mm-hmm. I need if the negative is we're off campus, I probably need four or five positives to balance that out. And then we can work on a 1-to-1 ratio. But to me, being off campus is a big deal. I've never been to a major college football game where Neyland Stadium is at the University of Tennessee, Texas at the University of Texas, South Carolina, like they're all on campus.
Right.
And I know we're not that. I know Sac State's not that, but I love going to Sac State. Like, I love being on that campus for a couple of hours and walking over to that stadium.
Yeah.
But if Cal Expo is that much better, let's go. You've got my support no matter what. Just don't change something for the sake of changing it. I'm never good with that.
Right. I think because of the Kings, because of the River Cats and the A's and all this other stuff and the alumni and everything, I think we're kind of conditioned. I feel like we're conditioned in this city to, if you go to, a Republic game, mm-hmm. shout out to them too, by the way, I'm going to talk about them in a second, but, if you go to any of these games, we're used to, oh yeah, we got to drive to the stadium and get it done. It's not one of those things where, oh man, I remember just being on campus and just walking from, you know, my dorm to the games. Like,
yeah.
It's been a commuter college. And if you're getting support, it's people that are driving from wherever they live anyway to go to these games. So in that aspect, you go to Cal Expo, it's just a different place that I'm driving to go to the game. It's not that far from the campus, so I think that's a good look as well. I wish it was on campus too, but I'm just not sure how feasible that is when you talk about money and space. Like, I to do what they want to do, get to 25,000-30,000 seat mm-hmm. stadium. I don't know. That's tough. That's tough to do money wise. That's tough to do space wise. So I wish they could, but if you have to pivot, I think Cal Expo's a good location.
For sure. Yeah, I'm very anxious to see what this looks like, because I imagine at some point, and maybe there are, and I just haven't seen them, there'll be renderings out there. Like, I know Luke Wood has been in front of councils, and he's been with Cal Expo, and I know that you know, this thing has a lot of legs. So, all right. Let's see. It'll be a new experience. It'll be a different kind of experience, and I'm all for it.
Yeah, for sure, man.
I'm all for it.
I said was going to get back to him, and I wanted to shout him out, man. The Sacramento Republic.
Mm-hmm.
Big ups to them, man, as they advance to the Jägermeister final after winning yesterday over Rhode Island in PKs.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to my people over there. Shout out to Simone. I saw Simone yesterday at the watch party.
Simone. Okay.
Yeah, she's pulling up too. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, she's pulling up.
Okay. It's about time.
Yeah. At the watch party yesterday, they had a little the Republic mm-hmm. had a watch party to see that semifinal game, won it in PKs, and the great thing about that win, the additional great thing about that win, is there was like a coin flip or whatever. They won the coin flip. The championship game is going to be October 4th here in Sacramento. So it'll be one of the first times in I don't know how many years, but it's been a long time since they have an opportunity to win any type of championship right here in Sacramento, mm-hmm. man. So I'm going to try and be there October 4th, man. Yeah. I'm going to try and be there, man. It's a Saturday. It's going to be dope, man. Shout out to them. They're also killing it.
Check the
just
calendar
in general.
Real quick. Clear. Yep. Connor going to need tickets.
Yeah. They're killing it in general in the USL. So they not only that, they're going to be trying to host some playoff games as well. So, yeah. Shout out to Republic. Those are still my guys, man. Always my guys.
Oh, absolutely.
Always.
Absolutely. Great organization. Looking forward to that. Again, that's October 4th. A chance to win a title right here in Sacramento.
Yeah, man,
that's amazing.
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing. Man, Sacramento. So how about those A's, huh?
I need the A's to do a little work.
Hey.
I need them to do a little work.
Is it the – who is it?
They got the Reds. They got the Reds this weekend.
Okay.
And
Reds have a tiebreaker over the Mets too, by the way. I think they're two games back of the Mets or something like that, or one game or something like
so
that.
So did they win yesterday?
The Reds? Mets lost. The Reds
no,
won.
No, I know the Mets lost.
The Reds won, so they're...
So they're two.
They're two back.
Yeah.
And I think it's one of those round-robin tiebreaker things. I think the Mets have the tiebreaker over the Giants. The Reds have the tiebreaker over the Mets. And the Giants have the tiebreaker over the Reds. So in a three-way tie, I don't know how that works out. But, yeah, I need the A's to get them kind of out of the picture. Get the Reds out of the picture. I'm already trying to combat with one team in the New York Mets. I don't need another team feeling good about themselves. Shout out to my boy Ellie De La Cruz.
Yeah, I was when we were looking at the wild card standings yesterday after. Well, you know.
Yeah.
It wasn't my fault.
Yesterday. We could all draw back to that day though.
What about the run they went on to get to this point?
You gave up on them. You stopped watching.
I did. I absolutely did stop watching.
I gave up on them, too.
I knew the Reds were lingering, but it never dawned on me until later last night to look at, like, oh, I need to see if the Mets won. Mm. And then it dawned on me, oh, I need to look to see if the Reds won, because I think obviously now know for sure that they just had the one extra. They were three back. Mm. The Giants were two back. And now, two back.
Mets play tonight in Philadelphia, potentially getting swept in a four-game series.
And that would make six losses in a row or five?
Be six. They've lost six, five six losses in a row.
Yeah, because they lost the first. They won the first game of the series against the Reds, lost the next two, and then this four game series.
Yeah.
Whew, that is a collapse of epic proportions.
And I keep saying this again. Mm-hmm. How many collapses of epic proportions have this franchise had?
Every year.
It feels like it. It's not, but it feels like
the
it.
Poor Mets.
Matt George is going to have a collapse when he joins us. He's sick of Kenny. He's sick of Adam Silver. He's sick of about everything related to basketball. So we'll talk to Matt George coming up in about 30 minutes or so. Still expecting Coach Marion to join us. And we've got week two. It starts tonight.
Yeah, man.
And it's a good one. It's next here. D'Lo and KC on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Expecting Coach Marion to join us here in just a little bit. Matt George will definitely be with us. He says he's in a great mood. He'll be with us coming up in about 30 minutes or so. We'll talk Kings, which is only less than 3 weeks away, a little over 2 weeks away from media day in the beginning of practice, and we're less than a month away from the first Sacramento Kings preseason game.
Man, I'm ready for it, too.
Yeah, I'm absolutely ready for this ridiculous offseason to end. The biggest offseason story we've gotten was a week ago.
Yeah, it's a pretty big one, though.
That's a good, that's a big story. Might have helped if you dropped it in July, Pablo, but it's fine.
That's a pretty big one, but yeah, man. Well, once again, we said it yesterday, but shout out TD. You know, we got love for TD.
Terrence Davis, yeah, for sure. And shout out to Steven. He wants to talk here on the Elk Grove Kia Talk Line, 916-909-1320. What's up, Steven?
What's going on, man? I appreciate you guys in your show, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate you, man.
I have a quick question. So with the whole Kawhi thing, if it just so happens to actually blow up, with how the salary cap and everything's been kind of weird this offseason, like, what does that look like to you guys, like, with him moving forward and getting another contract? You know what I mean? Like, everybody's been kind of funky with the salary cap and things like that. And then one more thing is the other day about those aliens, Kenny had me cracking up because you reminded me of one of the brothers from this movie called Space Traders, Cosmic Slop, where all these aliens come down and trade, like, high-end technology to the U.S. for all the black people in the U.S.
Oh my goodness.
Hold up, Steven. What's the name of this movie?
It's like a series, but okay. this particular one is called Space Traders.
Space Traders.
Flop.
Okay.
Yeah, you type the whole thing in. But yeah, they basically come down and they give them an ultimatum, like, we can give you guys all this, like, high end technology you've never seen before. And for in exchange for all the black people in the U.S.
Okay, ask me what I'm doing tomorrow. Ask me what I'm doing tonight. Stephen.
Who wrote that?
Stephen, we appreciate you. Hold on. Hold on, man. Space Traders. That play with
right
me.
Now I need to see what's going on. At least give me a preview. Can I get a trailer? He said Space Traders.
Oh, stop playing. Reginald Hudlin, who I think did House Party, did this. The offer, a fleet of UFOs arrives and offers to solve America's issues with poverty, crime, and pollution in exchange for the entire black population. Oh, my gosh. Go Lightly, a conservative black politician, is caught in the middle of this controversial trade. The conflict is Go Lightly is forced to choose between his black constituents and the potential benefits that the deal offers the nation.
I'm looking. They got the whole episode on here.
Yeah, it's not very funny when you get to the end.
Oh, no.
Yeah, well, I don't want to spoil it for those who are going to watch it tonight, because I assure you I'm watching this tonight.
This is what? I ain't never heard of this.
I haven't either, but I'm watching this in its entirety. Believe that. But to go back to Steven's original question, I think
oh, there's my girl in there.
He was talking about if this, he said if this, you know, kind of blows up and turns into something, I think one of the things that a lot of us are operating from is the, you know, the 2000 precedent of Joe Smith's contract being voided.
Mm-hmm.
And like what happens, you know, given the summer that we've had, the salary cap things that we've had, what happens with Kawhi Leonard if his contract is voided? There are really only two teams that could sign him to major money. And I think it has become extremely clear money is a thing that matters to Kawhi Leonard. And that is Utah and that is Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. There's no telling whether Utah or Brooklyn would actually do it, but those are the two teams that have cap space available to sign him to big dollars. Outside of that, he's signing a one-year contract with somebody should this ultimate scenario happen. Mm-hmm. I don't envision this. There's at least a scenario where he's suspended.
Mm.
Again, and I don't want to fire you up, but there's at least a discussion about that because you've got to figure out. Well, I shouldn't say there's a discussion about it. I'm sure there is not a discussion about it. The discussion is, what is Kawhi Leonard's role in all of this? Mm-hmm. And Uncle Dennis's role has been reported by multiple different outlets. Was Uncle Dennis with Kawhi's other representatives? Like, how did all of this come together? And what was Kawhi's role in all of this? And that, you know, that becomes another one of those situations. It's not what you did. It's what you can prove.
Right.
And if you suspend him without proper backing, I would think, at least, you have to deal with the Players Association. I would think the Players Association would immediately step up and go, whoa, 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 what is the precedent for this? It does not exist. And then, you know, Adam Silver has to, you know, channel his inner David Stern with the committee met, and it was a committee of one.
Mm-hmm. If they found the Clippers to be in the wrong and everything, I absolutely think you should suspend Kawhi Leonard.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. You knew what you were doing. Once again, like if they're able to suspend.
I didn't think you were going to say that.
Yeah, he knew what he was doing. He knew he was going against the rules.
See, there's that, but I also love the idea of Kawhi going to enter contender on the minimum and potentially winning a ring.
Or what if he had to go to possible. What if he had to go to Utah on the minimum and try to win them a ring? That's his punishment.
The first ever. Kawhi Leonard's not suspended. His contract is voided, and he's going to play in Utah. He doesn't have a choice. We've taken away his free agency.
But yeah, man, like you knew you were doing something against the rules. You knew that. Mm-hmm. He was getting money under the table. You got caught. There's enough evidence, once again, if they're going to punish the Clippers, that means whether they have the quote-unquote smoking gun or not, they're looking at the evidence that we're all looking at and coming to probably the same conclusion we're all coming to. They say, yeah, y'all did something. Y'all did something illegal in NBA terms.
Mm-hmm. Right.
How long do you suspend them for, then? And do you void his contract and then suspend him? Just as a free agent, you're suspended for however many games, or you're suspended as soon as you sign with the next team.
My thought.
Can I tell you what my first thought was? The year.
I thought about that. I reduced it down to 50.
Mm.
I reduced it down to 50. And yeah, if you're going to punish these guys, I'm with James Hammond in that respect. You got to set an example.
I wonder if, like, because it kind of looks weird if, all right, Kawhi, you're out for the first 50 games, and it's just, all right, Kawhi, watch, which team is going to sign him once his suspension's up, and who is he going to lead to a title or whatever, I guess.
Hmm.
Like, the optics of that, I guess, seem kind of weird to me.
Yeah, I mean, but that's what you've got to, unless you suspend him for a year, that's what you've got to do.
Yeah, I don't even know what you do, though.
Suspend him. You know, you got to, or void his contract. Like, you're going to void his contract. You're going to open him up to be able to sign with anybody.
Mm-hmm.
So that's...
I wonder if maybe you keep him on the Clippers, but do give him this 50-game suspension or whatever. Like, we're like the team and player, I guess, feel it there.
That would probably be the I guess the best scenario, but you wouldn't be voiding his contract though, because somebody might say, I'll miss 50 games if that means I get $100 million extra dollars.
As we know, Kawhi loves to get paid and not work. So
board man gets paid
every time.
What he really meant was he was trying to be on the board of the Toronto Maple Leafs. That's what he meant.
Some facts.
It was all Kawhi lives to rebound. No, he wants to own the Maple Leafs.
No. It's certainly an interesting subplot to what may, and truthfully, listening to Adam Silver yesterday, nothing may happen. Yeah. Absolutely, there might not be a single punishment levied.
Did Pablo's new episode come out after that? Was that yesterday morning or this morning?
Yeah, it came out this morning.
Okay, because I think Windhorse was talking on NBA Today touched on about how this new episode might make it a little bit harder for them. Just, it didn't happen or anything like that.
George W. said it, like, you fool me, you can't get fooled again. It's like, okay, Steve Ballmer, all right, like, to be clear, I don't believe you, but fine. Mm-hmm. Hold up, what the hell is this?
Ooh, that's the thing. How many more episodes does Pablo have left?
I still think Pablo got some stuff in the tub.
I don't know. I just need one on Jalen Brunson. Even if the episode is we found nothing, I need the Jalen Brunson episode.
Yeah. I still think Pablo got some stuff in the tuck. At least one more big time revelation.
Well, that's what I'm saying too, because it's a little tough for the NBA and Ballmer to kind of teeter the line. Oh yeah, no, it's fine. Blah blah. Released another statement, and Pablo's like, no, actually, this is what happened as well. Like, here's more details and facts.
But I wonder. Sorry. Yeah. I do wonder if Pablo hears all of this. Like, you want me to do an episode on Jalen Brunson? Really? Okay. Hey, dumbasses. His dad is the assistant coach. He didn't have that job before. Mm-hmm. Episode over.
The Clippers. They should be done talking, like we talked about earlier. Like, there should be no more denials, none of that. Like, they should be done talking.
Mm-hmm.
The NBA, the next time we probably should hear from them on this topic is a decision.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So I don't know.
Just don't talk. If you're under investigation, don't talk.
The decision part two with Adam Silver.
Jim Gray.
What if... Adam, tell us about what the last few months have been like for you.
Well, I want to start off by saying we're here in Greenwich, Connecticut, because I'm donating $3 million.
An opportunity to go, we're here in Greenwich, Connecticut. Hit the thumbs up. Come on, man. You're not a wrestling fan.
We're here in Greenwich, Connecticut.
Yeah, there you go.
All donating $3 million thanks to our people at Aspirations, who are donating this $3 million for these kids here at the Boys and Girls Club.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't even think I learned till recently that the donation went to all of the Boys and Girls Club, not just the one in Greenwich. Because I just thought that was terrible. You went to the richest community in the country and raised $2 million.
Well, look, if Adam Silver did do the decision and did say that, and the money did go to the Boys and Girls Clubs in Greenwich, Connecticut only, it'd be on par for the kind of day he's had in the last 24 hours,
man,
or so. Just missing left and right.
That is the truth. That is absolutely the truth. Week two of the NFL season starts tonight, and we got a good one. It is the Commanders at the Packers, and yeah, I'm locked into Amazon Prime.
It's going to be a good game right here. I'm picking the Packers to win this game. I'm picking the Packers.
Wow.
Hold on.
Wow.
So you're willing to acknowledge after tonight then that the Packers are good and can just... You're going to put them in the power rankings next week?
Wait,
you had the Packers in the power rankings, no?
No. I mean, it depends on what happens to the other teams.
Oh, you really didn't?
It depends what happens to the other teams.
This man really does hate Jordan
he
Love.
He does.
He does not like
hate Jordan Love. I just
he gave J.J. McCarthy more love.
Say three nice things about Jordan Love right now. Say three nice things.
He's got a good arm. He's athletic. And
you don't even believe that second one. No, wow. You don't even believe the second and third one.
Thought you were going to say he's quick.
You give me his top three performances in a big game. Go ahead. I'm listening.
Cowboys game.
The sorry-ass Cowboys?
Hey, they're all professionals, okay? Don't do that to them. All actually, right. I don't have to prove nothing to you, actually. I don't have his stats up in front of me.
Memory.
I like the Packers.
If I said give me Josh Allen's, oh, man, he played good against the Chiefs
anytime
a couple times.
The Dolphins. It's
easy. Jordan Love, it's not easy.
Well, the Packers don't play like just that kind of football. Oh, my gosh, he tore it up. They play good, clean football.
And Jordan Love been in the league, what, like 10 years?
5 years? No, he's been in the league at least 4 or 5 years at this point.
This will be his fifth. Fifth year, I believe.
Oh, so he hasn't turned into the world's greatest quarterback in 4 or 5 years.
They need to be the world's greatest quarterback, but Brock Purdy got those games. Brock Purdy, I can name 3 Brock Purdy games where it's like, yo, he was balling out. Okay. He did work.
Okay.
Oh, you want me to do it?
Yeah.
The Cowboys game?
It's the Cowboys. What do you mean?
Wait a second.
It's the Cowboys.
We're counting the Cowboys, right?
Oh, I thought you just said you can't.
He used it anyway. We're using the Cowboys game. The Cowboys game, he balled out and played well. The Seahawks game in the playoffs, he balled out and played well, lit them up. He played well in the second half of that Lions game and got him to the Super Bowl. He also played well every time he plays in Seattle and lit their asses up.
So Jordan Love never had a good game in the history of the
NFL. In his life.
I didn't say that. See what people do? I said, give me Jordan Love's best performances in the big games. And you have one. You had the Cowboys game. I'm waiting for the rest.
So Jordan Love can't be a good quarterback in 2025 because he hasn't had big performances in big games.
Who said that?
No, I'm asking.
Sure he can, because I think he is a good quarterback. I just don't think he's great.
You think J.J. McCarthy is better?
I wouldn't say that. Nah, I wouldn't say that. I don't think so. Mm-hmm. I've only seen one game from J.J. McCarthy.
Okay.
I think the Vikings as a whole, today, I think they're a better team.
Okay.
As a whole.
Okay.
So, yeah, Packers Commanders tonight.
Yeah, I'm like, where am I?
And I think the Packers are going to win.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.